If you don't mind, I'm just going to take a few moments and read through the scripture lesson that we had, the Gospel of Luke. Jesus stood on a level place, and a great crowd of his disciples and a great crowd of other people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon came to him to be healed of their various diseases. And those who were troubled with an unclean spirit were also cured. The crowd touched him, for power was coming out of him that they would be healed. Jesus lifted up his eyes to his disciples, and he said to them, "Blessed are you when you're poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you if you're hungry now, for you're going to be satisfied. Blessed are you when people exclude you, revile you, and spurn you in the name of evil, on account of the Son of Man. Now rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe, woe to the rich, for they've already received their consolation. Woe to those who are full now. They'll be hungry. Woe to those who are laughing now, for they will mourn and weep. Woe to you when people speak well of you, for they did that to their fathers, and they did that to their prophets, and it was of little help to them." It's a miracle. I'm a miracle. Do you ever look at me that way? Gee, and go around in the community and say, "My pastor is a miracle." Do you do that? Don't say anything. I want you to do something with me. I want you to say, "I am a miracle." Ready? I. That's not bad, but I'm not convinced. Let's try it again. I am a miracle. I'm getting more convinced. Want to try it one more time? I'm a miracle. I'm convinced. I really am. And I'm getting more convinced about this very fact. Do you know where I'm going with this? Do you have any idea where I'm headed, given the reading for today? You will shortly. You know, Jesus does things differently. He seems to turn things inside out and upside down. Have you noticed that? He's so counterintuitive to the way we would normally think and the way that we're bombarded by the world with the way that they think. But today he says, "Woe, woe to the rich," when the rest of the world is saying, "Oh, cool, more money." Woe to the well-fed, when all of us are supersizing at McDonald's. He says, "Woe to those who are happy and laughing." If you have too many beers and you're in the tavern, you're telling old stories. Woe to those who are held in high esteem. Oh, how we would love to be those people. Then he says, "Blessed." And he turns the whole thing on its ear. He says, "Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the hungry. Blessed are the weeping. Blessed are you when people speak poorly." Get this. When people speak poorly about you. He says, "Rejoice in those days and leap for joy. For behold, Your reward is great in heaven. So, can you rejoice and live your life happily no matter what? Because you're on account of Jesus. See, that's a big question to ask you this morning. Can you live today, tomorrow, the rest of this week, in fact, your entire life, can you live it as somebody who knows and understands how blessed you are no matter what the world's thrown at you? You saw the caveat. Rejoice in life no matter what on account of me. And the me, of course, is Jesus. On account of Jesus, can you live your life in such a way that other people are thinking you're nuts? Glorying in being poor and hungry and weeping and in need? No matter what, because Christianity now has become natural to you. We are God's people. We bear the name of Christ upon our forehead and upon our hearts as those who have been united, are one with God's Son, as people that know that through thick and thin, the great and wonderful God of all creation is our God. That salvation belongs to us, that we are actually on a journey, and that journey leads heavenward. Can you find joy, blessing, and enthusiasm for life, even if the world is crumbling around you? You don't need anybody to make you happy. You got Jesus. You're a miracle. Now the Bible says, a great crowd of people came to hear Jesus and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were also cured. Cool! Neat! Awesome! By the way, you're not supposed to use those words around millennials, but I don't know the language yet. I'll learn it and I'll start using that stuff. But this is unusually wonderful stuff, right? To be able to go to Jesus and the worst of the worst will go away. Even demons themselves will shudder before him. But I have come to realize in my life and from my study of the Scriptures, and as I get closer to my Lord, that's not the real miracle here. That was just a means to the end. Don't get lost in miracles like this, my friends. When churches try to draw you in with healing, demon possessions, or the promise of lots of dough, if you respond in great faith to God, say, wait a minute, whoa! The Scriptures say, whoa to that, whoa! That's not where I'm headed, because there's a miracle here that tops everything. Be mindful of that. Did you catch it? It's not the healing of the sick. It's not the casting out of demons. Did you catch the real miracle? Because it's kind of hidden. only for the person of faith to discover. The real miracle here is that some of the people that were there, and I think it was probably more the disciples because Jesus turned to them, they heard the word of Jesus and understood it. They understood it. This crazy upside-down talk, inside-out speech that makes no sense to the world, but makes sense to somebody who loves God. Blessings and woe. They heard that talk and they got it. That's the miracle. The other stuff is just a means to the end, to show that the Son of Man was also the Son of God. But don't forget what God really wants to tell you today, that you're a miracle because you understand what it truly means to be blessed and how you fail when you chase after the woes. To live your life as a child of God who loves Jesus, no matter what. No matter what. You know what? I don't care if you come to me and you can take a pumpkin and turn it into a carriage. That's nothing. I'm going to say, big deal. Because I know people who can live in this world as nasty and sinful and hurtful and evil as it is and turn to Jesus and say, I love you. That's the greater miracle. I don't care if you come to me with some fantastic card trick, like this guy who walks the streets and does all these card tricks, and people are just, wow. I don't care about it. I have seen some of you publicly cut down and shredded to pieces by other people, even some in the church. And all you did was smile and walk away. Oh, there's a miracle. That's something that I ooh and ah over. I've even seen some of you in the hospital facing the worst of the worst that the doctors can bring before you. I've walked into that hospital room and you've turned to me and said, I'm in God's hands. I've seen you lose loved ones and turn away and walk to the loving arms of Jesus because that's where you find your consolation. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. Nothing tops that. I've seen some of you believe in the most difficult of all Christian teachings. And we sit down together and we talk about that. We even say the Apostles' Creed together. That's hard stuff to believe. But you believe it, and you say it, and you're convicted, and you take it home with you and live by it. Miracle, my friends, miracle. When other people are looking for physical manifestations of the Spirit, they don't see the real miracles God's performing right smack dab in their lives. Isn't that too bad? And all God's people say, amen. To walk away from gossip, to step into the lead of a ministry, to be struggling financially, yet not to give up on your tithe, no matter what. Miracles. Miracles, my friends, miracles. Don't miss them. They're out there. And they'll throw you for a loop. And they'll change your faith. And you, my friends, will become a miracle. Although I believe you already are. I believe, personally, in my own heart of hearts, that some of you are doing miraculous things out there that would throw me into a chair wondering how God can do it. I've seen some of it, but I bet you, I know it. It's happening more often than I get to witness. You are truly blessed. You find your joy and blessing and enthusiasm for life in the fact that God has done a miraculous thing. He's made you the miracle. I'll tell you a little story about something that happened back in 1997, 98. It was actually 97, Halloween night. And I'd taken the kids out trick-or-treating. Now, we lived in a rural area, so you had to drive around from house to house. You couldn't walk as far as you had. So we drove. So it takes a while to trick-or-treat. Do you want to know something about living in a rural community that's really neat about trick-or-treating? People give you little cartons of milk. Yeah, farmers do that. It's really cool. Chocolate is wonderful. My kids didn't get much of it because I drank most of it driving around. Wonderful, wonderful experience. I get home, and about midnight, the phone rings. And one of our members who had a little girl same age as my own, 4 years old, was killed in a car accident. Not exactly the news you'd like to get. I knew the little girl because the little girl was in preschool with my little girl and often sat on my lap. Her name was Jamie. I remember it like it was yesterday. I remember driving by the crash site and finding a little tennis shoe on the shoulder of the road. She was ejected from her car seat and thrown outside the car. Horrible, awful thing. You can imagine Mom. She was numb. Numb for quite a while, actually. They took her to the hospital. They took care of her wounds. But then they sent her to a psychiatric hospital because she wasn't responding to the doctors and nurses and other people. And I would go in to see her. After the first week, I went in and I sat down with her. And she said something I'll never forget. She looked up at me and she said, "Your God is too big for me." What does that mean? Your God is too big for me. So I sat there wondering, and I happened to look down, and I saw a devotional booklet that she got her hands on. And that day, the devotion was, and it was in big bold letters at the top, "Your God is too big for you." So I just asked her, you know, "Can I read this quick?" She just kind of turned her head, looked away. The first sentence in that devotional, and this is as close as I can understand it, or remember it, I should say. Hardships and disappointments are the stuff of life. So at least I knew why she was reading it. Then after a few moments, I didn't know what to say. Just sitting there quietly. Silence is hard. She turned at me and she said, I used to read about the miracles of the Bible and think that that's the way God is. I had this big view of him raising the dead if we would just believe hard enough. So I asked for a miracle. I would love to have my daughter back. And then she looked me straight in the eye and said, that's not going to happen. Then she said, Pastor, don't expect me back anytime soon. It'll be a miracle if I ever get out of here. That was a sad day. That was a sad day. But as sad as it was, looking back, God was performing a miracle, and I didn't even see it. Over the next couple of months, there were changes. Her name was Penny. Changes were happening in Penny. And I could see a light coming back to her eyes, slow but sure. And so we would talk about Bible stories. There was a devotion we did together. We shared our faith and our doubts. Then I was gone for a week, so I hadn't seen her in 2 weeks. I came back from this vacation I was on. I got ready for church, and I went in, and I was standing up in front, and I looked back, and there she was. She's sitting there. And I didn't want to stare at her, but I certainly wanted to. That was a miracle. She's back in church. But that's not all. Because the real miracle that trumped that miracle was about to come. Because after church was over, I was walking around downstairs and just goofing off with the kids, you know, a little bit. Sunday school had just let out. And I looked over at the 5-year-old Sunday school classroom, and out walks Penny. She came back and decided to be an aide to the teacher in that classroom because now, of course, her daughter was gone. Is that a miracle? You tell me. Is that a miracle? Yes or no? Is that a miracle? To me, it's obvious. Only God can do something like that. And when God can do something like that in a person's heart, God can do whatever he pleases in your heart, too. What is it that God is moving you to do that perhaps you're not doing and maybe holding back from being a miracle? You're already a miracle. God's already doing it. What are you doing to hold it up? I don't know. Only you can answer that. To me, water into wine is no big deal. To me, when people like us step up, step forward, step out, and say, I'm a miracle. And God is making that possible. There's your miracle. And all God's people say. Just to paraphrase, rejoice in these days and leap for joy because you don't need a miracle, for in Christ you already are a miracle. Amen.